Broadcasting on AM 1340, 101.5 FM, streaming on the WKGN app, and always available online at sportsradioknoxville.com. Welcome to Fox Sports Knoxville. You are now tuned in to Three and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress, Knoxville's longest-running morning sports radio show. Well, sort of.
Best way I can describe it for you is controlled chaos.
People eat snapping turtle?
Absolutely. Turtle soup is a delicacy.
You know, the one thing that I love about listening to you guys is this. I mean, you pull no punches. I mean, you speak the truth and you really lay it on the line.
That's about the dumbest take I've heard on this topic ever.
USA.
112 per person?
Per person. USA.
That's awesome. USA. That's fantastic. I love America. What other country can you do that? None.
Of that total.
112 pounds per man?
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your plans behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance,
welcome into the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. It is another edition of Three and Out alongside Houston Kress and Davey Hudson. I'm Nate Hodges. We got you covered for the next 3 hours right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Houston, I'm going to start with you. How are you doing day two of this week? I mean, yesterday was kind of a grief.
How am I doing?
Yeah, I'm just trying.
How am I doing?
I'm just trying to welcome you to the show, and you're, how are you doing? Like, are you?
Awful, man. Terrible. Abysmal.
That word is going to stick with me.
Yeah, let me just slide that one in there.
To the end of time.
Yeah, abysmal. It was terrible.
They always ask.
The further away you get from the game, the worse it looks.
They always ask players and coaches who experience a heartbreaking loss, like, how long will it take you to get over this? The answer is never. You never get over it. So I'm sorry. That was a bad question this morning. How are you doing? Not a good question. Maybe do you feel differently today?
No.
Apparently you feel worse.
Yeah, I feel worse. Yesterday's press conference with Butch Jones started fine, and then he said everything that is your biggest fear if you are a football fan, because he proved yesterday that the mistakes in the Florida game were a direct result of coaching and a lack of preparation. As I mentioned, the press conference essentially started fine. He's twice now after this game given kind of the blanket, it's on me, it starts with me. And then, so he said, it's on me, it's on our coaches, it's on our players. Like, it's like the weird, I'm going to accept responsibility, but I want to make sure you also know who else needs to accept responsibility. Like, it's my fault, but it's also your fault kind of thing, which I find pretty frustrating. And then I can't remember who it was. Well, there were just a couple things. He mentioned that Cortez McDowell, out for the season with a wrist injury, said it was similar to Juwan Jennings, who is just out indefinitely. And so someone says, Coach, does that mean that Juwan Jennings is out for the season since it's the same injury? And you could tell he was like, oops.
Yeah, he twitched. Like
he got busted.
Like a robot.
Because he got busted. I don't really care about that because you're trying to protect injury news. Like,
yeah,
that's, I'm okay with that, but you could just tell that he got caught kind of in a lie right there. Again, I'm not necessarily upset by that, but it just, like, if you ever wondered if he always tells the truth, like, I thought that was a pretty good indicator. And then the question came up on what exactly happened on the two downs where Tennessee has first and goal from inside the one yard line. And the first thing he said was, you know, we heard him after the game say it was a scheme thing. And I'm really glad someone asked the question yesterday. So they asked what exactly that meant. And he said Quentin Dormady saw cover zero. So you've got nine men in the box. You've got your two receivers out to the right. No safety help. It's one-on-one with your two receivers and two corners. And he said that Quentin Dormady checked from a run play to the fade route. Florida defensive backs, historically good. Florida knows exactly who they're going to target. They're going to target Callaway. They peel off the inside slant, leaving it wide open. Dormady forces it to Callaway. Obviously, the ball gets deflected, but then you pick up the penalty. You get the taunt. And Butch Jones said that you get, you know, it went from first and 18 inches to first and 9 inches. And the call was going to be for Quentin Dormady to run a quarterback sneak. Dormady gets hit after the first throw and is kind of holding his knee brace, and looks to the sidelines. And we talked about this yesterday. Jarrett Garantano, because Quentin Dormady does not go down, runs out onto the field to take the next snap. Butch Jones said the call was going to be a quarterback sneak with Quentin Dormady. As we all know, Jarrett Garantano rushes out there and lines up in the shotgun. We kind of broke this down yesterday. He claps once really loud. The second clap, not quite as loud. Not everybody hears it. And you get a false start penalty. You back up 5 yards. So the question then became, wait, you know, if you were going to call a sneak with one quarterback and it's been such a close battle per you, this is your information now, and it's been such a close battle between the quarterbacks, why were you not confident to use the more mobile quarterback, the guy who has run more than Dormady, to just perform a quarterback sneak? And Butch Jones said, and I do not have the exact quote in front of me, I will try to find it, but he said something along the lines of, we did not think it would be fair for Jarrett to run the quarterback sneak having not repped it before. So then the explanations start flying in from any and everywhere. But regardless, we have a severe breakdown in coaching and kind of an understanding of what players are capable of. If, and this is not true, but if your backup quarterback who was in the running for the number one position, as you said, cannot take a snap from under center, that is a fundamental flaw, A, in your practice routine, and B, in your offense as a whole. If your backup quarterback, if you don't feel comfortable with him taking a snap under center, you have made a mistake. Now, we kind of deducted that what he meant was Jarrett Garantano did not get to rep the center quarterback exchange on the sideline before running out into the game. Again, though, that would be another fundamental flaw in your substitution. If Dormady is injured, what everyone does this. What do you do when the quarterback gets hurt if you're the quarterback? You lay down on the ground. You lay down. You fall over and you point to your knee and you say, I got hit. I mean, people have done this to Tennessee for years, especially when Butch Jones first got here and they're running up tempo. Defensive lineman, you're trying to sub. You want to give everybody a break. I mean, we all remember the guy lost his shoe, is waving his shoe at the sidelines, and then just fakes and falls down like he had a heart attack. Dormady, however, points at the knee, tries to wave off Garantano.
But they've already sent him in.
Right, they've already sent him in.
He's behind him.
So instead of Dormady going down, the training staff coming out and looking at the knee, and Jarrett immediately running over to a center on the sidelines and taking 3, 4, 5 quick snaps.
And then throwing the ball.
That should be the routine.
Yeah,
at this point, I don't care if he throws the football. But he needed to go get a couple of snaps. But you can't, because your team, and because you're the head coach in chaos mode right now, just flies out there instead of, you know, Dormady going down, Jarrett, you know, slowing down. They're going to look at his knee on the field. He's going to walk slowly off the field, and then you go take a couple snaps. You go out there and run the sneak. Also, if that's the issue, why didn't you just call a timeout? Why would you not just say you got three at the time, and you ended the game with two? So you clearly didn't need them, which I know hindsight's 20/20, but in that moment, in a game that's 6-3, you burn the timeout to make sure your starter can get out there and run the play you want. You just sent a redshirt freshman who has never been on the road before into the swamp to take his first snap without getting him any warm-up on the side, without giving him 2 minutes of, hey, you're about to go in. This is a fundamental problem with Butch Jones and the coaching staff. People went back, and of course, you know, they found snaps from the spring, from the summer, from camp, from last week's game of Jarrett Garantano going under center. My thing is this. Who cares if he can't rep it once on the sidelines? It's the quarterback-center exchange. If you don't feel comfortable with a quarterback getting the ball from the center, then what are you doing? What are you doing as a coach if you don't feel comfortable with your quarterback taking a snap?
I see true freshman quarterbacks all day Saturday and from various teams taking snaps all different kinds of ways. Like, it's not it's one of the easiest things to do to play the position. Like, is the quarterback sneak not the easiest play for the quarterback to execute?
I mean, yeah, I think it has to be. Because you don't have to get the snap and then, you know, drop the right foot and really push away from the center. You just – really, you don't even have to get the ball. The quarterback can just – or the center can just hold it against his own butt, and you just kind of got to, forgive me, cup it and fall forward. So that – to me, that issue, coupled with the fact that that Quentin Dormady checked out of a run play – and everyone said, well, then that's on Dormady. No, it's not, guys. Like, if it is not a fundamental rule, a steadfast, hard rule in your offense, that on first and goal from inside the one, you don't check, that is coaching. On fourth and one at midfield, fourth and two, that makes sense. If you feel like you've got a guy on the outside who can win. But you are in the... you're in the end zone, in the swamp, where some of the best defensive backs, I mean, they're called DBU for a reason, guys. I don't care if they're freshmen. Those two freshmen that they put on Callaway Saturday, infinitely better than Tease Tabor. And he was pretty good in college. Those guys are going to be good. Why you do, and as soon as you saw him signal to the receiver and check out, call a timeout. Say, no. We're not playing the whole, we're going to outsmart Florida right here. You run the football straight ahead. You get 7 points, and you get out of there with a win. It's the same things over and over. And it's the same weird excuses from people that tried to defend him. Oh, it was Dormady's fault. Oh, well, if he throws the slant. Oh, well, These are all issues with the coaching. If Jarrett Garantano is not ready to take an under-center snap that he probably practiced coming out of the locker room at halftime, then what are you doing as – like, if he's not ready, then whose fault is that? Did you rep it after coming out after halftime? Did you rep it in pregame warmups? Did you rep it in the spring? Did you rep it in the summer? Did you rep it in this weekend practice? If so, then just trust your guy to go out there and execute a fall-forward play. But no, we're going to put him in the shotgun, we're going to run zone read, we're going to get somebody killed, and we're going to make sure that we turn that 9 inches into 5 yards and 9 inches by the time the quarterback catches the ball. It's just the same bogus junk over and over again when it comes to short yardage situations. I mentioned it yesterday. People went back and found them over and over again on the internet yesterday. The Oklahoma game when you've got fourth and 8 inches, and you've got Jalen Hurd back there, and instead of going under center and handing it off to Jalen Hurd with a lead blocker, you kick the field goal because you didn't have him in on first, second, and third down. You went with Kamara instead. it's player mismanagement. He does not understand that it's not the system. This is the SEC. It's players, not plays. When you've got a Jalen Hurd battering ram, when you've got a John Kelly averaging almost 8 yards a carry, when you've got these big, talented offensive linemen, when you've got two tight ends. By the way, Austin Pope is going to be a pretty good player here. You've got Ethan Wolf, who I know he's not the strongest blocker, but he's a senior. You can trust him to do his job. The fact that you will not line up and run behind the talented offensive lineman that you've recruited, your retooled offensive line. And by the way, Walt Wells, tip of the cap, buddy, they've gotten better every single week. The fact that you don't use your advantages in key games, winnable games, and instead turn your team into a disadvantaged group by play calling is, it's malpractice, man. It is negligence. You have to try hard to ruin first and 9 inches. You have to try hard to ruin that. The first call should have been sneak. It should have been sneak, 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 sneak. Or sneak, handoff, sneak, handoff. Like, it doesn't...
I don't understand.
And then
it.
His excuses for it, they just get worse. They just get worse and worse.
Here's the direct quote, or part of the direct quote. He said, "That can't happen at the goal line. You have first and goal at the one. We had a run play called. We would have liked to run it on second down. Absolutely. The plan was to get under center and do QB sneak outside." Has anyone talked about what that means? QB sneak outside? That means they're going to ask Quentin Dormady to take the snap and kind of like
shuffle his feet,
shuffle to the side, yeah, and try and, I would assume.
I didn't hear that.
I would assume you're trying to go over like Trey Smith in that situation, would be my guess. But then Quentin tweaks his knee. "We didn't think it was fair to Jarrett to ask him to go in there and take the snap under center."
Not fair. What
does that even mean?
That's just a peek into his mindset. That's not what he means. What he means is, "I was scared to put my quarterback under center."
Yep.
He needs to say that. He needs to say, "We were scared that Jarrett would go out there and fumble a snap if we did that." And because that admits his problems. That admits that he lied to everybody about the quarterback competition being close in the first place, where they're going to compete in pregame warmups to see who starts. He made it up. And that's even more embarrassing for Jarrett Garantano now. Like, imagine being him. You get one snap in the swamp and it's a false start. And then your coach says, "Yeah, we just didn't want to put him under center because I just don't trust him." Well, you shouldn't trust yourself, Butch, because you didn't score. What was it? What was the stat? They had 7 snaps from inside the 10-yard line,
yeah,
and they were all 7 passes.
Mm-hmm.
All 7 of them. I mean, that is some just next-level buffoonery. With John Kelly and that offensive line, it just makes no sense. Like, you can't defend that. And if this was a separated, isolated event, right, if this is the first time something like this had happened, you say, "Man, you know, that was the game plan. They were trying to sneak around on Florida and steal a touchdown." But this happens all the time. It's always something, "Well, we didn't trust so..." It's the same thing with the dime package. It's the same thing. "Oh, yeah, we didn't know who the 6th defensive back would be." They played 9 or 10 guys, and they couldn't find a 6th for one single play. No, that's not true. You're just vindictive, and you don't want to play Shaq Wiggins because he might have a bad attitude. Just admit that. Just say it. Say, "I know he's talented. I know he started as a freshman at Georgia. I know he was all ACC at Maryland, but I just don't want to," or at Louisville, excuse me, "but I don't like the guy because he wants to play too much." Like, what is that? What is that? Buckethead tweets in, he says he still doesn't think Dormady changed the play.
Nah, he did. I watched it.
Do we think he changed the route? Do you think Butch is like...
Yeah, he signaled
but I'm
to
saying,
the receivers.
Do you think he just changed the route and it was a pass play, or do you legitimately think he took... Because you said they run blocked, right?
I think it was an RPO.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was an RPO. Right. I think they called an RPO. They probably assumed that Dormady would hand the football off because it's first and goal at the half-yard line. But I also think they probably went, based on the comments the coaches have made, I also think they worked all week on what to do if Florida goes cover 0. And so I think they kind of confused their own quarterback.
They outcoached themselves.
Yeah. And so Dormady sees cover zero and goes, well, they said to audible to this rub play.
Oh, God.
If they're in cover zero, he didn't have, you know, the game plan to know that, we don't mean that when you just need inches.
See, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, does that not just scream paralysis by analysis? Does that not scream that they're coaching, like, I don't know, man. It's like they're coaching on page 87 of the playbook when the quarterback sneak is literally the first play on the page. You know what I mean? It's like, why are we worried about this when all you need is 9 inches, man? Like, why are you killing your football team with, are they in cover zero? How many men are in the box? Oh, we don't want to sneak it. We want to go shotgun. Like an RPO on the goal line?
If you're even going that in depth and you look at the last play of the game, you would think you would at least cover that from a defensive perspective. Well, if you're going this in depth on the offense.
That's what's so insane is the overanalyzation on one side and then the complete lack of any thought on the other. But it's not one or it's one or the other. Because some games the defense keeps it pretty simple and plays pretty good, and you know, or vice versa.
But that's the thing you got to look at, because of how bad the defense had been going into this game. You would have thought all attention would have been placed on that instead of the offensive side of the ball.
But instead, we've got a quarterback who thinks he's supposed to check out of a run play on 1st and 9 inches because there's 9 guys around the line of scrimmage.
He said, that can't happen on the goal line. You have 1st and goal on the 1, and we need to score. We had a run play called. They were a 70% heavy pressure football team with all-out cover zero blitz, so they have a couple individuals that you can't account for in your run scheme. So we knew that going in.
Wildcat.
Would we have liked to run the football there? Absolutely. That was the plan. Then the plan was on 2nd down to get underneath center and do a quarterback. Listen, when Quentin Dormady came back on the field for 2nd, it was 1st and goal from the 5 and a half.
Yeah, 5 and a half, yeah.
Because the penalty made it a 1st down again.
Yeah. When he came back out on the field.
3 straight 1st downs.
Watch the game. When he comes back out on the field, they almost get a delay of game penalty because they send in the signals for the play, and he has to ask, like, what do you mean? And has to re-signal back to them, get the play back.
He's just been on the sideline.
There is no way in hell that Butch Jones knew what they were going to run on 2nd down if they didn't get in first. There's just – watching the play calls come in, there's no way they've got plays, like, pre-called ahead of time. I mean, maybe Larry Scott is saying in the headset, let's sneak it on 2nd down, maybe. But there is no way that in all that chaos, there's an entire plan of what they're going to run on 1st down, 2nd down. I mean, that's just him talking in hindsight, because he knows everyone wants the quarterback sneak after the game. After the game, he knows everyone wants what should have happened to have happened, and that would have been a quarterback sneak.
So you're saying that he's basically saying, you know, you were going to get what you wanted, trust me, but we just couldn't, you know.
I don't even think they knew. Like,
no, I'm saying after the fact.
Right.
He's saying they wanted me to go for it, they wanted me to keep it simple and run the football or sneak it. Guys, that's what we were going to do
until
players made the mistake. Okay, so you're saying you don't necessarily buy that.
No, not at all.
Okay,
not at all.
Just checking. DLM says it doesn't matter what Quentin Dormady did or didn't do, right or wrong. Still had 3 plays to hand it off and get it in. Didn't. No. I agree. I'm legitimately not blaming Quentin Dormady. I mean, you would hope that he would just say, no, I'm not throwing over there until I at least see if John Kelly can punch it in or maybe he checks to the sneak or something. You would like that. But the fact that there is not a hard and fast rule, I mean, really, you should say, like, 1st and goal inside the 5, your first play needs to just be a run.
No, it should be a different call. It's a call without a check.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I'm saying you can't be able to check out of a run into a pass on inside the 5-yard line or something.
Right, but, I mean, you can just have hot calls that there is no check. Like, you send in a certain version of the quarterback sneak, and it's the quarterback. Well, that one's – you never check out the quarterback sneak anyway.
No, I know.
But – You can send in a play that has no check.
Well, we don't know that for Tennessee.
I'm saying is if they don't, then that's negligence.
Again, I know we're agreeing. You're just trying to making it difficult.
Yeah, sorry.
What the whole issue is that he is allowed to check into a pass from 9 inches out.
Right.
That there wasn't either a hard and fast rule, or that they didn't say when they sent in the signal, or when they had him by the face mask before that play, we're running the football, no matter what. the fact that the quarterback, based on his coaching, based on his time in the film room, thought from 9 inches out, I should audible to this pass play is a problem. It's like this happened once before. I'm trying to remember. It was Tennessee at South Carolina 2006. Ainge hurts his ankle. It's 4th and 1. Jonathan Crompton comes in the game. Crompton, first play in the game, comes out. They stack the box, 4th and 1. He checks the play to the pass to throw the fade. Philip Fulmer, timeout. Get over here. Talk to me. And just chews him out on the sidelines, saying, it's 4th and 1. You're the backup quarterback. We're handing this ball to Arian Foster. What are you doing? Or Montario Hardesty or whoever it was. That's what should have happened in the Swamp. Your head coach needs to go in there, be it the starter or the backup, and make sure that you're running something that makes sense. Not the 5-yard back shotgun crap, not the fade route, not some play action bootleg. I love that. Actually, I might not have hated that. But instead, we get absolute garbage as a fan base. That, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that that series of play calling, of coaching malpractice, cost you that football game.
That play could have easily gone for a pick six the other way, too.
Easily.
I mean, it almost
easily
did. It's just unbelievable that that's the way you would rationalize that series of downs. Three and Out is driven by Toyota Knoxville, and right now they got some great deals, especially on brand new 2017s. A Toyota RAV4, you can get 0% financing for up to 72 months. That's 6 years with no interest. 2017 Toyota Camry SE, that too. Leases starting at just $249 a month, zero to it signing, 0% financing for 72 months, plus $500 Toyota bonus cash. Get on over to Toyota Knoxville if you're in the market for a brand new or pre-owned vehicle. I-40 Level Road exit right there at Parkside Drive. And don't forget Dirt and Donuts coming up October the 7th. It's an off-road car show right across the street there on Parkside Drive. Completely free event. You can get out there. It's with Bold Overland. Lots of cool stuff for the kids and different sponsored things as well. It's all free for you. Put on by Toyota Knoxville and Bold Overland. Shop online, toyotaknoxville.com. It's Knoxville's Toyota dealer. Welcome back to 3 and Out here, driven by Toyota Knoxville. This hour of the program is powered by Merchants of Beer, a 21 and up and pet-friendly location right there on the corner of the Old City. They got beer to go for your traveling and tailgate needs, varying from 12-packs, 6-packs, even 4-packs as well, and specialty cocktails only at Merchants of Beer. Unique drinking experience there on the corner of the Old City. They even have beer cocktails. I'm not even sure what that is. I'll have to go there and try it. Fantastic spot for your lunch, business meeting, and, of course, the cigar room right there with Park City Cigar, located in-house with cigar pairings with your favorite beer. It's Merchants of Beer. Let's get to the phone lines. Get your reaction. The number is 865-546-8200. If you want to weigh in, get on the program today. Up first today, we have John. John, what's up, bud?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I got a couple of questions. First of all, I guess I need to admit that most of the fourth quarter, I was in the other room with my wife commentating on what was going on because I really couldn't watch it. But I know that Florida, at the very end, they ran down and then they wasted a lot of time, and then they ran the little 1-yard play for a first down. That stopped the clock. Did we have a timeout there, or do you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Tennessee
had a
timeout.
Mm-hmm. So we didn't use the timeout. That's my first question. So we didn't use the timeout. We had a timeout there that we could have gotten in a dime.
Well, Florida took one. Florida got the first down but also took a timeout with 9 seconds left.
Oh, okay. So I didn't even know that.
And, well, that might actually make it worse. They could have taken another one when Florida came out and showed their formation if they wanted to.
Some people have said they should have done that. See what Florida's formation is, then take another timeout. Make sure there's no question about how you're defending this play that Could be a field goal play, you know, if they get like 30 to 40 yards, or could be some type of, you know, completion over the middle, or maybe they – I mean, Florida can't run around pitching the ball, because if something goes crazy and Tennessee returns it, it could have been a – you know, they could have lost the game.
And like at that situation right there, do you think it's a disconnect? Do you think Shoop's up there going to run down and Rich is going, no, I'm mad at somebody, so I'm going to run a nickel? I don't understand where the disconnect is. Do you think that's – or do you think Shoop's just was stupid there? Well, I don't understand,
I mean, let's just say there's some message board posts that, you know, are throwing out and kind of an extreme rumor that Shoop wanted to be in the dime, and Butch Jones said, no, we're not putting Wiggins in the game. We're going to stay in nickel. I don't know. I have a hard time believing that.
I don't.
But
do you really? Do you really have a hard time believing that? Or do you just not want to? Do you have a hard time believing
both. Both.
See, I guess I don't want to believe it, but I do believe it.
I guess it's just because I'm on the radio. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. If we're sitting around talking off air, I'm probably believing it.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to say that on the radio.
We don't know that. Yeah. I'm not saying it's true, but I certainly don't not believe it.
Wow. My last question is, and I know the guys that actually interview Butch a lot or at the press conferences, you know, they're probably all good buddies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How come these guys don't get together and like hold his feet to the fire?
Because then they won't have a job, John. They will lose access and lose their livelihood.
Yeah, if you're going to ask serious questions, they won't let you at the presser. And even if they let you, they won't hand you the microphone and ask a question.
It's like y'all got together and everybody, you know, if somebody said, why weren't you in, you said you didn't have the personnel to run dime, but you ran, you know, 9 scholarship players out there during the course of the game. Why didn't you have the personnel? And he says, I'm not going to answer that. But the next guy gets up and says, well, I'd like to know the same question.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, but you kind of saw it with LSU this offseason. They basically said, you know, no media at practice. They're going to do, I think they did what, one head coach media session a week. I mean, if people start pressing, they're either going to get kicked out. And if everyone were to say, we're not going to come in here and ask these bogus questions anymore, we're going to actually, you know, ask some fastballs, then they'd probably just cut off media altogether. They would love nothing more than to do all of the UT football news on utsports.com.
I don't remember who said it. It was on Vol Twitter. But basically, the call-in shows tonight, and someone's like, we should just have everybody call like 100 straight times, just ask them why they didn't run it at the one.
On Vol calls?
Yeah. Just everybody asks the same question.
I mean, there's certain media, you know, through Vol Network has a partnership with the university, John. Yeah. So those, I mean, I'm pretty sure in the press conference, the person that asked the first question was one of those people. The person that asked the third question was like one of those people. I mean, you're never going to get those people to like band together in some type of, you know, unity. It's just and you can't really blame them either. I mean, you're literally asking someone to lose their life. I mean, Travis Haney got fired. Travis Haney didn't even cover Tennessee, and he basically lost his job for publishing the piece. And John Bryce is no longer in media because of that same fallout. I mean, people lose their job if they criticize too much and are on the beat here.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right, guys. I appreciate your candor. Y'all have a good day.
Thanks, John. I mean, sorry. That's why we can tell the truth, is because they can't really kick us out of anything. We don't really need them for anything.
Well, I mean, they don't give you much anyway.
No, so they don't. That's our whole thing is, it's pointless, really.
I mean, we hired all Marquell Osborne, Shum Schamberger, Cheyenne LaBruza, all these great DBs.
They got their black stripes taken off. Uh-huh. They're looking good, and then we just don't.
They're good enough to play special teams, but they can't go in. And what boggles my mind, and I keep going back to this, and I hate that I keep using this phrase, but I watch other teams all day Saturday.
Yeah,
true freshman after true. Wasn't the Texas quarterback that almost beat Southern Cal?
Yeah, the guy who came in for Bouchelle.
True freshman.
Yeah.
But a redshirt freshman at Tennessee can't run a quarterback sneak. Like, they don't trust him.
No.
They don't trust corners to be in the game on a desperation type of play.
It's because there's no simplification of the system.
It's why Daniel Batuli hasn't been man.
It's because they don't do the whole, you're really good at this, this, and this. Let's break this down and make sure that these are the things you do. It's, no, you have to know everything. It's why, I think the quarterback's the most. Remember they tried to redshirt Joshua Dobbs 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Instead of just putting him out there instead of Justin Worley. I mean, I know Dobbs as a freshman wasn't great, but if he plays early in that season, don't we think he's ultimately better for that offense than Worley? In year two, he didn't play until Alabama. Don't we think he's the best fit for the offense and as a sophomore over Nate Peterman and Justin Worley? But it was because they didn't trust him. They don't trust young players. Which is, it's funny because my guess is Butch has probably been burned by young players before, but I don't blame the players at that point. Like, if you can't teach them a few key things to go out there and do them successfully, like, that's on you.
Especially when they're second year in the program. I mean, they've had 12 months to I mean, you know, he got a question asked about Daniel Batuli, and he basically said he needs more reps. The guy's a sophomore.
And he's more reps? He's the nation's leading tackler.
And he needs more reps.
The nation's leading tackler, and he needs more reps. There was a play late in the game. I can't remember what drive it was. It might have been Florida's touchdown drive after the John Kelly touchdown, where Colton Jumper read the play, diagnosed the play, runs to the hole to catch the running back in the screen, and just nothing. And if that's Batuli, a 20-yard gain is like a 3-yard loss. So it's that, right? It's Jumper did everything they wanted him to do. He diagnosed the play. He got in position. He didn't get blocked, and he couldn't make the play because he's just not athletic enough. But they won't put Batuli in there because they're afraid he'll misdiagnose the play and not make the play. Do you see the difference, right?
Yeah.
If a guy can do everything right and still not make the play, then put the damn guy in there who might not get everything right but will still make the play.
And if he can't call the defense, then have Cortez McDowell call the defense. They're standing right beside each other. I know. He can't anymore.
R.I.P. Not he's dead. He's going to be resting in peace on the sideline.
The weak side linebacker can call the defense. That happens. NFL teams do it all the freaking time. Like, it's not that hard. Have some adjustability within your system. We'll come back. Final segment of Hour 1, 3 and Out, right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Houston, I was thinking about what you said about if a player knows exactly what to do but still doesn't make the play. Like, you can't – what's the point? Like, that is
– And I'm not saying Jumper didn't make plays. I mean, he had a sack in that game.
Right, but we're talking more philosophically now, outside of this situation. Tennessee, like, never trust true freshmen, never trust young players.
No.
And I see team after team all day on Saturday with true freshmen after true freshmen just bawling out because, quite frankly, offenses are more – potent now, it seems like, but they're actually less complicated in college football. And if you trust the kid to do everything right, but he still can't make the play, I mean, Charlton Warren even said that's bad coaching. He said, if I put you out there and you're not talented enough to make the play, that's on me. I mean, I've got a 4 to 7-year-old coach pitch softball game tonight where I'm the coach. We operate on the exact opposite premise because we're trying to teach them how to play the game, like where the bases are, which base to throw it to, when, and all we care about is knowing what to do and trying to do it. Whether they make the play or not, doesn't matter.
Right.
Butch Jones is coaching Tennessee like 4 to 7-year-old coach pitch softball. Like, let's just know what to do and try to do it. Let's not worry about if we're good enough to make the play. Let's not put the best player, the most talented athlete out there. And quite frankly, that's bad. If your system's so complex that your most talented players can't understand it after, you know, 16 months in the program, then it's too hard. Like, make it easier.
Yeah.
That's what all these air raid, all these, you know, wide open offenses has done. No playbooks, iPads, rep, the whole nine yards.
But you know, won't do that.
It's the infallible system.
It's his system. It's infallible. And frankly, I don't get it, man. Like, all we heard all offseason was Batuli, man. He's just not there. Batuli's just not there. He gets out there, he doesn't know what to do. 23 tackles against Georgia Tech, and however many he had against Indiana, leading tackler in the nation after 2 weeks, and then he's just kind of a no show. And so, again, because he's a sophomore and Butch is scared to play young players in the swamp unless he has to.
Put him at defensive end every third and four or more. You know, like it
doesn't matter. Yeah,
find a place to put him.
Just get him out on the field.
Apparently, someone said on some call-in show somewhere, just put him at tailback and hand it to him on first and goal from the 9-inch yard line. I guarantee you he'd get in the end zone.
Could you imagine him at fullback, lead blocking for John Kelly?
Blow something up.
We can't have a fullback, Houston. You know
you're
that.
Probably right.
We'll call him a tight end and do the same thing. That's the other thing about the whole cover zero. You could have had those two wide receivers on the line of scrimmage blocking
that,
his tight end.
That's
ends.
What I said.
That's called a goal line package.
Well, it doesn't,
they don't have one,
at that
apparently.
Point, though, it doesn't really matter. Like, or if you're going to get cover zero, then put the other receiver on the other side and try to get Callaway by himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if they want to put a safety over on Callaway now and Mand, now you've got numbers in the box. It's a stupid philosophy.
Yeah.
I mean, I listened yesterday, but well, we got cover zero. Then why are your receivers on the same side? Then get Callaway over there by himself, put the other receiver on the other side on the short stack. And then if they put the safety over Callaway, oh, a magic. The numbers in the box make sense, and we can run the football.
Motion Quentin Dormady to the boundary side and snap the ball straight to John Kelly and let him dive over the top for a touchdown.
Direct snap. Or go Wildcat with a lead block. I mean, like, there's a billion things you could do, and we throw the damn fade.
Just going back to Petulia, he had two tackles in the game against Florida. Solo tackles, five total is how they... categorized it.
Yeah, and he played like 10% of the snaps.
Oh, I'm not
Jumper
arguing.
Did,
I'm
and
not
Jumper
arguing.
Had less
no, that,
tackles.
That's
than
what
that.
We're saying. It's I'm like just, this weird. Like they did get him out there, and
I hear you.
He performed. Like I'd have to go back and watch the tape, but I never was out there thinking, oh man, Batuli blew that one.
Well, I noticed they didn't line up right a couple times on the first series, and that was it. That was it. They didn't trust him.
They yanked him after that.
They put him in at the end.
How many
of the
points
game
did Florida score in their first series? 3 points. Okay,
3 points. Let's go to the phones. We got Terrence on the horn. Get to his call before the end of the hour. Terrence, you're on 3 and Out.
I just want to call and comment really quickly. It's pretty obvious to me, and I think probably most people that, and I'm not saying I'm a football coach or anything like that by any means, but I think anybody with any common sense can look at this coaching staff and the way that they misuse this team. And maybe outside of Missouri, is this not the most poorly coached football team in the SEC?
Right now, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Florida team is not very good. I think everybody knows that.
Well, and you can kind of make the argument for Missouri. I mean, second-year coach. You know, it's like he's still trying to get some things in line. I'm not saying they're well coached. I'm just saying, like, you could at least make the argument if you're a Missouri fan. Wait. He's only been here a year.
You didn't watch Missouri, did you?
No, I'm just saying you could make the argument. Year five. Yeah. Like
that you should expect more from
Tennessee.
Like
the fact that we're comparing Butch Jones year five to Barry Odom year two. It's just like if that's where we have to go to find the two worst coaches in the SEC, like that should tell you something. Like McElwain's not a good coach. He's not good. He's now 2-1 against Butch and has kind of embarrassed him twice now, running the same play from 63 yards away to score the game winner.
You know, I just kind of have to wonder, too. We have so many former players that are, you know, in coaching, and we have so many, you know, former players that are still around the program. And, I mean, we see it with Tim Freeze and his reaction during the game, and there were some things that he even said, I can't remember if it was Georgia Tech or Indiana State, that I thought were just, you know, really indicative of the coaching staff. But I mean, where are these, you know, are your Peyton Mannings, are these guys, are they making any noise behind the scenes? I mean, can they not see these things? I mean, I know they can, but I mean, if all of the average Joes, I guess, can sit around and see all these things, and you know all these guys can see them. I mean, just look at what Albert Haynesworth was saying. So, I mean, you got to believe that a lot of the people that are around the program are fed up just like the fans are.
Yeah, that's a good point, Terrence, and we appreciate the call. Albert Haynesworth was very outspoken about it. Hey, even after last season, we had Michael Munoz on the program. He is the nicest. He is, you know, he's
most respectful.
An ambassador for this program. I mean, his dad's an NFL Hall of Famer. He's an ambassador for the Bengals. I mean, he was brought up as like, this is how you become a football player and a part of a program and how you then carry that forward. And even he said that, you know, Butch Jones needs to take that next step, needs to, you know, I mean, you're. The former players are looking four more. And, you know, you're not going to have many of them do what Albert Haynesworth did because they
want access too, man. They want to be invited in when they come to a game. They want to be able to come by and watch practice. And Butch Jones has done that before to media in this town that are former players.
That's true.
Where he said, are you media or are you VFL? Are you going to go on Twitter and say mean things about me? Or are you going to support this program no matter what? Like, that's one of my issues. It's like, it's not the University of Tennessee with Butch Jones. It's, do you support me? Like, Butch, he can't separate the two. He doesn't realize, I think, that the university is infinitely bigger than he is.
All he had to do is a couple times along the way admit some mistakes and say, yeah, we should have done this better. We'll try to do it better next time. And then have some clue in, like, the game Saturday. Like, if they had made some mistakes in that game but not others, you know, if you mess up once, if they pound the football late in that game and John Kelly pops in the end zone and scores the game-winning touchdown because he probably could have. We saw Jalen Hurd do it 2 years ago. They ran the ball in 3rd and 10 and for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
They had the ball first and goal or close late in the game and threw three straight passes when they could have tried to use up more time.
Yep.
If he pops one and runs in for the game winner, and you have a coach that says, yeah, guys, I know you guys are probably frustrated by the earlier sequence. Man, I was too. I blew that. I should have either taken a timeout or just I should have trusted Garantano. What if he just explains it honestly and would have a track record of that, people would love him for it. They really would.
But
he's got to – I think someone said it. He will sacrifice the program to be right, and that's his biggest flaw.
To appear right.
Yeah.
Not to be right.
Okay.
To lie and appear correct.